Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Do you know what I use to record these podcasts? It's Anchor by Spotify. It's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or a computer. It's all really, really easy. It's all really intuitive. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast. You've done all you can do if you're the Indianapolis Colts or if you're the New York Jets. All you got to do now is tee it up, kick it off, and see what the hell happens over 60 minutes of professional football. So, what is going to happen? Colts going to win tonight. Colts going to cover. Going to give you some reasons. Gave you some reasons yesterday. I'm going to distill them into a more consumable form. All right, the Jets suck on the road. They have not won a game on the road. They have lost by almost 20 points a game. On the road. They are terrible on the road. Mike White, you think Mike White is all that? Mike White, holy cow, Zach Wilson was terrible. Now they got Mike White, they beat the Bengals, let's go. No, Mike White has thrown four picks in 77 attempts. That's one for every 19 and three quarters passes he throws. The guy that we in Indianapolis like to think is a pick machine after what happened against the Tennessee Titans, Carson Wentz, he has thrown three picks in 270 attempts. One out of every 90 passes is intercepted for Carson Wentz. He set the franchise's all-time record for consecutive attempts without a pick. And somehow we think this guy's a pick machine, and Mike White is going to lead the renaissance of the New York Jets? That's crazy talk. Insane. All right, Jonathan Taylor. The AFC Offensive Player of the Month in October is going to absolutely go off tonight. The Jets' run defense absolutely stinks on ice. Jonathan Taylor is going to run wild tonight and put himself in a position to win the NFL rushing title because Derrick Henry is on the shelf for at least the next 4 to 6 weeks. Jonathan Taylor joins Edgerrin James and Eric Dickerson as the only running backs in Indianapolis Colts history to win that award. Edge did it three times. Dickerson did it once. Jonathan Taylor, his first this past month in October. Can you imagine what Jonathan Taylor could have been in the month of October had Frank Reich just given him the damn ball? We yell. I yell too. It's on me. I'm yelling, hey, you got to give him the ball. What are you doing? I want him to get the ball 25 times. Well, you know what? In the month of October, he was the AFC Offensive Player of the Month. That's pretty good. That's okay. He's doing work. He's getting there. All right. You know, my goodness, 6.1 yards per carry for Jonathan Taylor, 478 yards, rushing 673 yards from scrimmage. That is number one in the NFL since week four. That's what Jonathan Taylor is doing. Regardless of position, 678 yards is bombing, right? So there you go. Tonight, the defense, I think, is going to be really, really good. This Colts defense was built to play a team like the New York Jets. When the Colts play a team that's good, they play really well for three quarters, and then that defense gets exposed. I mean schematically, not necessarily in terms of personnel. Tonight, the Colts are going to build a big lead. I think they'd shut Jonathan Taylor down at some point. defense is going to create a bunch of turnovers, and this is going to be a lot of fun to watch if you're an Indianapolis Colts fan. If you're a New York Jets fan, not so much fun to watch. We saw New York fans despondent last night over the Pacers kicking the living hell out of the Knicks. Miles Turner goes off 7 of 10 from beyond the arc. Let's go, Miles. Right? Kari Willis was put on IR today. A few procedural matters to take care of, if you don't mind. Kari Willis on IR. Jahiel Adai, he's been activated for tonight's game, about to become a 32-year-old safety in the NFL. I love the signing. I think it's really, really good. It's exactly how you feel. You don't need to trade for safeties. There are safeties out there. Clayton Gethers among them, as we found out yesterday, if you're a subscriber to The Athletic. There he is, just working out, trying to get ready to play, and he can play. But the Colts signed instead Jahiel Adai last week. He's going to be active tonight. And then Dez Patman. A lot of Dez Patman fans out there. He is going to be active tonight. So Carson Wentz is going to have yet another, let's hope, weapon to augment Michael Pittman. And you got Pittman and Patman. My God, the confusion. I'm telling you, how many times tonight will Joe Buck screw that up? Going to happen repeatedly. How about Andrea Kramer and Hannah Storm? I'll bet they don't screw that up once. I bet Daniel Jeremiah on the scout feed from Amazon doesn't screw that up once. Speaking of media, by the way, this is Inside Indiana Sports Now. I'm Ken Sterling. It is Thursday, November 4th. It's a game day. Let's go. We're brought to you by the great people at MyBookie.ag. All your sports wagering needs in one place. MyBookie.ag, it's the place where the pros go to bet on football and whatever else you want to bet, UFC, whatever, NBA, they got it all for you, a bunch of props, all kinds of fun. All right, let's talk about media, because I got an email today from HBO with a poster for Hard Knocks in season that is going to feature the Indianapolis Colts. I think this is a terrible idea. You know what? People are going to be wacky interested in the city of Indianapolis about how the sausage gets made here, but nobody in the end is really happy either that they watched the sausage get made, or the organization is never going to be happy that they opened the curtains and showed with transparency how that sausage gets made. This is how jobs get lost in the NFL. Colts better hope that they win a bunch of games throughout this run of Hard Knocks in season, or it's going to be problematic. What are the moments that stick in your head in watching previous seasons of Hard Knocks? I'll give you three for me, all right? I'll give you four. One was Antonio Brown doing the cryotherapy on his feet and kind of showing people that he's nuttier than hell. That wasn't good for Antonio Brown, and it wasn't good for John Gruden either. Joe Philbin, when he was the head coach of the Dolphins, I watched and I said, oh my God. How did they hire Joe Philbin, this guy, to be the head coach of the franchise? Ay, 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 ay. That's crazy. Of course he's going to get fired. Then when the Browns, it was their turn in the barrel, you had John Dorsey, the general manager, grab Hugh Jackson and a couple other guys and say, come on, bring it in. Let's go, family hug. If you ever have a boss who initiates a family hug and tells you he or she loves you, run like the building's on fire, because sure as hell you're gonna get canned. That is not leadership. That is woefully inept. And I knew when I watched it, I turned to my wife and I said, Hugh Jackson just got fired. And not long after that, John Dorsey's gonna get fired. Bing, bang, bong. Of course, that's what happened. Also, I saw, and this really made me sad, and this is kind of a personal thing. When we lived in Fishers, we lived right around the corner from a kid named Brian Wozniak. Brian was like 8 years old, and Brian would get in the backyard with my son, who at the time I think was 10, and his brother Adam, who was 11. And they're playing football, just three of them, and Adam, at the age of 8, is lowering his shoulder and blowing these guys up. Like, Brian and Adam are grabbing and kind of pulling guys down. Brian Wozniak, boom, blowing guys up. So Brian and the family, they moved to Cincinnati, becomes a really good high school football player, goes on scholarship to play at Wisconsin. He's a really good blocking tight end, a lot of run at Wisconsin, and just a terrific kid. So he goes as an undrafted free agent to the Atlanta Falcons, And on Hard Knocks, I had to watch him get fired. I had to watch them, and his family did, and everybody who knows Brian Wozniak watched him come into the office. You know what? Ain't gonna work. Thank you for all your effort on our behalf. And off he went with a box. And that was the end of his NFL dream. He's doing real well in coaching, but I hate watching that. I don't need to watch that. I don't want to watch people get fired. Anybody who's watched any or has been fired or has fired people, God almighty, you don't want that on videotape. You don't want that on national TV for everybody to see, whether you're on the firing end or the guy who is being fired or is doing the firing. You don't want any of that. It's awful. So don't show us that. I got four things that I don't want to see in this Hard Knocks in season with the Colts. I don't want to see guys holding hands and praying. I don't want to see any of that. I think that's personal, and frankly, I think it's a little bit creepy. And when I'm at holiday dinners and we all hold hands and we say grace and stuff, or you go to church and everybody's holding hands saying Our Father or whatever, I just hope that it ends real soon. I'm not a touchy-feely guy in that way. I don't like touching strangers. I don't think that strangers want to be touched by me. That's not the way our society works. So I don't want to see that. I don't want to see Frank Reich and Carson Wentz holding hands saying, God grant me the strength, blah, 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 blah. I want to see none of that. I don't want to see Carson Wentz, speaking of Carson Wentz, I don't want to see him talk to his team as quarterbacks tend to do and substitute non-profanities for profanities. Gosh darn it. Come on, you freaking guys. No more BS. Please don't do that. I don't mind the swearing, but I know that Carson Wentz doesn't. So I'm afraid that he's going to come off like Ned Flanders on The Simpsons in this thing. And I don't want any part of that. Let's not have Carson Wentz as a right-handed Ned Flanders. Can we not do that? I don't want nudity of any kind. NFL nudity is not good nudity. I've been in that locker room. I've seen it. I walk around like this. I'm looking at the ceiling tiles quite a bit in that room. I don't want to see any nudity. Maybe somebody else does. But that's not me. I do not subscribe anymore to HBO because of nudity. It's just not, especially Colts nudity, not interesting to me whatsoever. And that's about it. Those are the four things I really don't want to watch in Hard Knocks in season. If somebody from the Colts is listening, could you jot those four things down and talk to HBO and say, listen, here's the thing. Sterling's right. No firing footage, no nudity, no public displays of spirituality or praying. And if Carson Wentz avoids swearing, I'd really prefer that that was shelved too. Can we do that? Good. By the way, I know I said it once, but the Colts are going to walk all over the Jets tonight. This is a great matchup for the Colts. The Jaguars next week, we're going to have to talk about. But the Jets tonight, Colts are going to go to 4-5, and all of a sudden tomorrow morning, there's going to be hope, right? We'll have the wrap-up immediately after the game tonight, as we always do. That's a lot of fun. I want to talk about Indiana basketball, too, because all of a sudden, we got 5 days. We got 5 days until the opening of Indiana's basketball season. It's a new day, a new era for Indiana basketball. Mike Woodson, now the coach. And so what you've got is you've got the tether back to the night air with Mike Woodson. That's not a reason they're going to win, and they're not going to win any recruiting battles because of the, you know, Mike Woodson coming from the Bob Knight tree. That's not what this is about. What this is about, guys who went to IU in the 80s and 90s are all psyched, or 70s, 60s, not 60s so much, but they love that tether to Bob Knight. We do. Because it felt like in 2000 when Bob Knight got fired that it was, everything got interrupted in a way that it shouldn't have. And now, after Mike Davis and Kelvin Sampson and a brief glimmer of wonderful days under Dan Dockich, then Tom Crean, and then Archie Miller, we got Mike Woodson. So IU is back at IU. And it feels really good. And forever and ever and ever, going back to 2006 when Kelvin Sampson was hired and Tim Fitzpatrick or Fitzgerald, I can't remember, he told me before they made the announcement, He said, "We got our guy." I said, "Who?" He said, "Kelvin Sampson." I went, "Oh, that's good." I tried to smile, but there, I looked like a mental patient. And he looked at me like he thought I was a mental patient. It was Kelvin Sampson. I knew it was going to be a disaster. He didn't fit IU. That was not going to work. And then the next time, Tom Crean's our guy. Ooh. And then Archie Miller. And I invested in Archie Miller. I invested hope in Archie Miller. Got the pack line defense, which is easy to teach and easy to grasp quickly. Seemed like his offense wasn't as complicated as Tom Crean's. Going to turn guys loose a little bit. We got reason to believe that that one-year departure from the NCAA tournament was all it was going to be. And 4 years later, Indiana hadn't been back to the NCAA tournament. So now we've got Mike Woodson. And in Mike Woodson, we've invested hope again. Because forever, like I said, back to 2006, maybe we can get that IU guy in here and resurrect what once was. And hope will spring eternal. What if it doesn't? What if five days from tonight, Eastern Michigan comes to Simon Scott Assembly Hall, and it doesn't go so well? And they play St. John's, and it doesn't go so well. And they start playing Big Ten games, and it doesn't go so well. And all of a sudden, you've got same old in Bloomington, but the recipe for success that all the IU fandom was championing for years and years and years doesn't work. Then where do you turn to make this thing right? That's what's got me nervous, because I don't know the answer to that question. I've always felt like I knew the answer. IU's got to be IU. And I feel like Mike Woodson is going to be very successful down there. But if he's not, what do we do? As a fan base, where do we turn? Brad Stevens said no. Mike Woodson said yes. We're all in behind Mike Woodson, and we're going to hope for the best. Colt, round them up, kick the Jets in the ass, let's go. At the end of the game, we'll be right back here. Want to remind you, oops, the art of learning from mistakes and adventures. I lived it, I wrote it. You can get it at Amazon.com. You can listen to it at Audible.com. I can't wait to talk to you when we next meet in about 7.5 hours. How about that?